You're listening to the Bay Christian Family Church podcast.
Amen. Awesome. Okay, family, open up your Bibles to the book of John chapter 9, verse 1. John chapter 9, verse 1. As we get started this morning, I just want to do a brief recap for those of you that maybe missed the first message from A Mess to a Miracle. But in John chapter 9, we see that actually twice in Scripture, we see that Jesus engaged in a miracle or working a miracle that we might deem unorthodox for the way that he did it. But we're going to look at that this morning. We're going to look at John chapter 9. And last time we looked at John chapter 9, how Jesus worked that specific miracle where he healed a blind man. Today we're going to also look at another event where in Mark chapter 8. In Mark chapter 8, where Jesus ministers to another blind man. But before we get into the scripture, I just want to tell you, let me see, how many of you that are here this morning or in any of our campuses, how many of you came out of a rough season? I don't know about you, but I believe some of you came out of a rough season. How many of you can say, how many of you recently, you came out of a storm over the last few years? Amen. I mean, if you came out of a storm, lift your hand. Let me see. Look at all those hands. Now, let me ask you this question. If you came out of a storm, that if somebody Googled your name, the Weather Bureau's name came up. That's the type of storm you went through. Put up both your hands if that's you. Amen. If you went through a tsunami, put up both your hands and a foot this morning. Amen. Some of us, starting with COVID, came out of a rough season. Some of us have seen pain. Some of us have seen failure. Some of us have seen distress and lack. But I have a word from the Lord for you today. This year, 2024, will not be that year. Amen. This will not be that year. I am here to announce to you that you are stepping into a season where you will experience God's grace, God's favor, and you will experience God's glory in the next season that you are coming into. Can you shout amen if you believe it? And the only thing that you have to do is you have to open your eyes to see it. Tell your neighbor, open your eyes and see the grace of God. Tell them, open your eyes and see the favor of God. Now, twice in Scripture, like I mentioned, Jesus engages in the working of miracles where he opens up blind eyes that we would seem a little bit unorthodox. And in John chapter 9, Jesus heals a man of blindness. The Bible says in John chapter 9 from verse 1, if you could throw up the Scripture for me. I need two volunteers real quickly. Pastor Dylan, thank you for volunteering. There you go. Pastor Dylan's always using me in his example, so I thought... We'll use Pastor Dylan this morning. Amen. So here's the thing. Two blind men. You just move a little bit this way. John chapter 9, Mark chapter 8. Two blind men that Jesus heals in Scripture. So Bible says Jesus passed by and he saw a man who was blind from birth. Everybody say blind from birth. And his disciple asked him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents? He was born blind. So in other words, he was born blind. He never ever saw anything in his life. Amen. The Bible then says, Jesus answered, neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him. I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Everybody say, Jesus is the light of the world. Amen. He's still opening up blind eyes today. He says, when he had said these things, he spat on the ground and made clay with his saliva. He spat. In other words, Jesus uses saliva, spit, and he applies it to the infected area, blindness. Now, it's about to get a little bit personal this morning, gentlemen. Did you come prepared? The Bible says he takes saliva, spit. You read it, Pastor Dylan? Just like we practiced. He spat in the ground. Anybody have some dust or some sand for me this morning? He spits in the dust. And the Bible says he makes clay and he takes the clay and he puts it on his eyes. And in what seems to us like he's making a mess on the blind man, looks like a mess. But how many of you know behind the mess, there was a miracle? Amen. And as he says to the blind man, after he puts the mud on his face, go and wash your face in the pool of Siloam. And as he walks, you can walk to go wash your feet. As he walks with a mess on his face and he washes, in other words, he obeys the instruction of Jesus. We heard this morning. He goes and washes his face, the Bible says, and then he sees. So what looks like a mess, there is a miracle behind the mess. Some of you may think that your children are a mess right now. Some of you may think that your business is a mess right now. Some of you feel like your marriage or your finances is a mess right now. But I came to let you know behind the mess, there is a miracle in motion. If you believe it, shout amen. That's just a little bit of a recap. So he goes and he washes and he walks with his mess. Some of you have been walking with your mess for a while. But while you're walking with your mess, I'm here to let you know, keep on walking. Amen. Keep on walking. Keep on doing what God has called you to do, because behind that mess, there is a miracle. Amen. Now in Mark chapter 8, Jesus doesn't spit in the mud. He just goes straight for the infected area. Because this man could see, he had vision. But the Bible says he lost it. And the Bible says he goes and he takes the man. If you read the scripture, Mark chapter 8, can we get Mark chapter 8? Then he came to Bethesda or Bethsaida, and they brought to him a blind man and he begged him to touch him. And look at what he does in verse 23. He took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the town. So it says, come with me. You need to leave this place. And then when he had spat in his eyes, can you imagine? Pastors, ministers, I do not recommend this form of ministry. Unless you know the Holy Ghost is talking to you, amen. But the Bible says Jesus spits. Can you imagine? I wonder what distance Jesus was standing. How close did he get or how far did he stand? He spits in his eyes, and the Bible says after he had laid his hands on him, he asked him if he could see. Verse 24 says, and he looked up and said, I see men like trees walking. Now, how could he know that he saw men looking like trees? Because he wasn't born blind. He could see. Verse 26, and he sent him away to his house saying, look at what he says. He sent him away to his house saying, neither go into the town nor tell anyone in the town. Thank you so much for your assistance. I want you to see in Mark chapter 8 what's happening here. Jesus... Well, let me say this, for you to see and open your eyes to what God has for you, if you're gonna see the grace of God, the favor of God, the glory of God, you must be willing for God to come, you must be willing to allow God to lead you out of the town or the village that you are currently in. For you to see what God has for you, you must come out of that town. Tell your neighbor, you must come out of that town. Jesus leads him out of that place. Here's the thing. There comes a time in your life when Jesus will lead you out of a place of complacency, when he will lead you out of a place of failure, when he will lead you out of a place of distress, when Jesus will lead you away from people that actually get high off of your problems. That like hearing about your problems, Jesus will every now and then come and take you and lead you out of a place where people validate your weakness. You must understand, family, you must surround yourself with people who don't remind you of your past. But you have to surround yourself with people that speak the word of God, that speak life, and speak words that will launch you into the future that God has for you. This man, however, we see, used to have vision. The man in John chapter 9 couldn't see anything, never saw nothing. So God opened up his eyes to something he could never ever, or that he never ever saw. And we spoke about that in the last, in the first part. God, be willing to allow God to open up your eyes to something you've never seen. This specific man in Mark chapter 8 had vision, could see, but he got around people He got into a place of complacency and he lost his vision. Anybody here that ever lost vision in their life? God gave you a dream. God gave you a vision. God spoke to you a few years ago about doing something great for him. But all of a sudden, you don't see that vision anymore. Your vision is lost. Family, I'm here to let you know, don't spend all your days surrounding yourself with people who speak you out of the vision that God has given you. There are people that's going to ask you, do you really think God said that you are supposed to do that? Don't you think that that thing is a little bit too big? Don't you think it's a bit too far-fetched? Family, I'm here to let you know, allow Jesus to lead you out of that place where people speak you out of the vision and the future that God promised you. Amen. Jesus tells this man, after he leads him out of the town, out of the village, Jesus looks at him and says to him, don't go back to that town. Tell your neighbor, don't go back to that town. Family, I'm here to let you know that you have been in a season where God is pulling you out. God is pulling you out of certain places of complacency, failure, distress, lack. And I know that it's been uncomfortable. I know it's been messy. I know you don't like it. But I'm here to let you know that it's not the devil. It's God that is pulling you out so that he can launch you into the fullness of the purpose that he has for your life. Say amen if you believe it. I don't know about you, but how many of you are here this morning that you can say God took you out of a bad relationship? Amen. How many of you can say God took you out of a wrong mindset? Amen. How many of you can say God took you out of a bad habit or a bad situation? He took you out, amen. He led you away from people that kept you in that place. I'm here to tell you, stop whining, stop complaining. God is taking you out, and if God is taking you out, it can only mean one thing, that he wants to launch you into your purpose and into the destiny that he has for your life. Shout amen if you believe it. You are about to see what you have not seen before. Open up your eyes and allow him to lead you out. Tell your neighbor, don't go back to that town. If you know that God has taken you out of something, raise your hand real quick. Here's the word of the Lord for you. God did not just take you out, even though it was uncomfortable and painful. This is what the Lord is saying to you this morning. He has taken you out of that place for a reason. But here's the thing. You are never, ever going back to that town again. I said, you are never, ever, ever, ever going back to that town again. You are not going back to failure. You are not going back to complacency. You are not going back to lack. You are not going back to bad relationships. Jesus has led you out, amen? And you are not going back. Shout amen if you believe it. And here's the thing, it's not just you. It's not just you that's not going back. I'm here to announce to you that your children's not going back. Your children's children will never, ever, ever set foot in that place ever again if you believe it. Shout amen in this place. He's brought you out for a purpose, amen? And understand this, what God took you out of cannot compare to where he is taking you. What you left behind cannot compare with what lies ahead. I know it's difficult. Pastor, you don't understand. I've known these people since I've been at school. I have learned personally in my life that everybody that's walked with me will not necessarily follow you into the next season of your life. And it's not always the case that they're bad people. It's just God's plan for them is different than the plan he has for you. So you have to know who's moving with me into the next season of my life. Amen. Are the folks that are moving with me speaking the same language? Are they thinking the same? Amen. If they are not speaking the same language, there could be an issue. But you have to be willing to listen to what the Lord is saying. Jesus, lead me the way that I should go. Amen. And follow him. It's uncomfortable, Pastor. I don't want to leave them behind. But you have to do what God has called you to do. Say amen. Amen. Family, God will move you out of complacency and out of failure. Some of us should not be here today. God has moved you out of complacency. Some of you should not be here today. The enemy's plan for you was for you to stay in that place of complacency. The enemy's plan for you was to stay in that town, to stay in that village, to stay in failure, to stay in distress. Some of you should not have been here. Some of you shouldn't have made it through COVID. Some of you should have been in hospital. Some of you should have been in prison. Some of you should still be in rehab. Some of you should have been 6 feet under. Come on now. But you are in God's house this morning. Why? Because Jesus came and he took you out of that town. If you believe it, say amen. Here's the question. Why did Jesus spit in the man's eyes? Why did he spit in his eyes? The last time we discovered that, whenever we talk about spit, we know that our DNA is embedded in our saliva. Amen? So when Jesus spits in the man's eye, understand that there's what, here's what happens. There is a holy transference that takes place. Jesus' DNA is about to mix with this blind man's DNA. Amen? So in John chapter 9, Jesus spat in the mud. And the reason he had to spit in the dust of the earth, because with this man, in John chapter 9, he was born blind. So he had to go back to the beginning of the beginning of the beginning and say, I'm going to have to fix you by going all the way back. And he spits in the dust of the earth and he mixes it and he puts the saliva on his face. There is a transference that took place. God's DNA now became a part of this man's DNA. When he spits in this man's face that could see, this Jesus is saying, my DNA now becomes a part of your DNA. In other words, with my DNA, you can see. But without my DNA, you are blind. Amen. With my DNA, you will be a success. But without my DNA, you will be a failure. Come on now. There's a holy transference. Understand this, family. Romans 8 verse 11 tells us this, that if the Spirit of whom raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. Understand, the Spirit of Jesus, the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. Not a diluted spirit, not a second grade spirit. Everybody say the same Spirit. He said, if this Spirit dwells in you, the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells on the inside of you. Here's what I want to tell you, family. There's a reason that lack can't keep you down. There's a reason that depression can't keep you down. There's a reason that poverty can't keep you down. Whenever you fall, you get back up. You say, Pastor, why is that? Because the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is the same Spirit that will raise you up every single time the devil tries to knock you over. Tell your neighbor, the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells on the inside of you. Point number two, we've discovered now in point number one, if you're going to see the glory of God, if you're going to see the grace of God, the favor of God, you must come out of the village that Jesus leads you out of. Number two, open your eyes to prophetic alignment. Everybody say prophetic alignment. Point number two, are you with me? Look at verse 24 and 26. The Bible says, when Jesus spat in the man's eyes and laid his hand on him, the man says, Jesus asked him, what do you see? And the man says, I see men walking like trees. Now, Bible scholars question the fact that Jesus had to lay hands on this man twice. The Bible says, and then he laid his hand on him a second time. So the question is, why did Jesus have to lay hands on this man twice? Could it be that Jesus had an off day? Like he just wasn't, you know? Could it be that Jesus ran out of the anointing in that specific moment? What do you think? No, wait. Jesus never ran out of the anointing. Amen. Jesus is the anointed one. Amen. Jesus didn't make a mistake. He didn't run out of the anointing. From an ophthalmological point of view, you can go Google this. From an ophthalmological point of view, because this man could see. He wasn't born blind. So he had vision before. This is what is known as a prior construct. Everybody say prior construct. In other words, if you used to be able to see and you lost your sight, your brain will store memories in your memory bank of things that you used to be able to see in your past. So he had all these past memories stored in his memory bank. So when Jesus lays his hands on this man and he receives his new vision, he is looking with new vision, but through the lenses of old experiences. Oh, you're going to get this. In other words, he was seeing the new, but with the eyes of the old. It's a prior construct. I don't know where you came from, but something has to change. God is giving you new vision. Jesus healed this man first time, but his mind still had to catch up with what Jesus just did in his life. He had new vision, but his mind was still thinking the same way. He still had past memories. Family, listen to me. You can't see the new thing if you are always speaking, if you're still speaking the old language. You want God to do the new in your life, but you are still speaking the same way that you spoke in the previous season of your life. Amen? You can't see the new if you continue to do old things. You have to change the way that you do things when God gives you new vision. New wine require new wine skins. Matthew chapter 9, verse 17. Everybody say alignment. Look at what it says. Nor do they put new wine into old wineskins, or else the wineskins break. The new wine is spilled and the wineskins are ruined, but they put new wine into new wineskins and both are preserved. Here's the question. How many times did God give you new vision, but you didn't renew your mind? How many prophetic words has God spoken over your life, but you didn't renew your mind to what God was saying to you? See, family, this is why we come to church week after week after week, so that the mind can be renewed. The Bible says, Romans chapter 12, verse 1, that you are transformed by the renewing of your mind. I love prophetic words, but I understand that if I'm going to walk in the prophetic destiny that God has for my life, I have to renew my mind to what God has spoken to me. Can you say amen? And always remember that the new vision will require new thinking. And there will always be a fight between the old man and the new man. Always going to be a fight, but how many of you know that when you gave your life to Jesus, Paul said that it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. The old man has been crucified with Christ. Amen. Tell your neighbor that old man is dead. Tell them I'm not that old person anymore. Amen. I am not who I used to be. Tell them I don't talk the way I used to talk. I don't think the way I used to talk. I don't give the way I used to give. I don't pray the way I used to pray. I don't react the way I used to react. Say, I am a new person in Christ Jesus. Number three, third thing you must do. Open your eyes to a God who will not stop until He gets it right in your life. Open up your eyes to a God who will not stop until he gets it right in your life. Jesus stuck it out until he finished what he started in this man. So he lays his hands on this man. And he asked the man, what do you see? He says, I see trees walking like men. In other words, he didn't completely see what he's supposed to see. And Jesus stays and works with him and lays his hands on him again. He stays with him until his vision is clear. I don't know about you, but I'm so glad that Jesus never left after the first time I fell. I'm so glad that God never left me after the second time that I made a mistake. Amen. I'm so glad that he never left me after the third time I made a mistake or after the fourth time I made a mess. Amen. I'm so glad God never left me after the fifth time that I made a mess. He never left me, nor did he forsake me. I'm here to let you know, I don't care how many times you mess up, God will not stop until he completes the work that he begun in your life. Tell your neighbor, God will not stop. God will never, ever, 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 ever give up on you. People may have given up on you. God will not give up on you. Your ex-wife may have given up on you. God will never give up on you. Your previous girlfriends or boyfriends gave up on you. I'm here to let you know, God will never give up on you. Some of you, your boss, you have a couple of bosses that gave up on you. God will never give up on you. I don't know where you find yourself today, but I'm here to let you know, God will stick it out. He will never leave you. He will never, ever, ever forsake you. He will not stop. He will walk with you. Amen? Say amen if you believe it. The Bible says in Philippians 1, verse 6, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. God is a God who does a complete work. He doesn't do a half job. Amen. If he's called you, he's going to complete it. I love what 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 24 says in the English Standard Version. It says, he who calls you is faithful. He will surely do it. Not he might do it. Not maybe he'll do it. He will surely do it. Tell your neighbor, God will surely do it in your life. But here's the thing, family. You must get rid of the old construct. And if you say, Pastor, I am ready to walk into the new vision that God has for my life. I am coming out of the season of distress, out of the season of lack, out of a season where I don't know which way to turn. I don't know which way to go. It's a bit cloudy and foggy. You've received the prophetic word. You've heard the word. Some of you, we come here every week. We've heard the word of God. Now all we need to do is get rid of the old construct. Renew your mind to the new and walk into the fullness and destiny of what God has for your life. Can you say amen? Amen. The mistakes of your past, I'm going to close. The mistakes of your past will no longer obstruct the miracles of your future. I know the enemy keeps on reminding you of your past, but you have to put it behind you. It's in the past, and that's where it belongs. Amen? The memories of what you went through will no longer hinder the mandate of where you are going to. Tell your neighbor, get rid of the old mindset. Won't you stand to your feet this morning? We're going to pray and then we're going to close. Father, thank you for your awesome word this morning. Thank you for what you are doing. Here's what I want you to do. We have to come to a place, family, where we stop fighting God. Stop fighting God and allow him to lead you out of where you're supposed to be. Now listen, I'm not talking about God changing your geographical position. For some of us, that may be the case. But how many of you know when I'm talking about get out of that town or get out of that village, we're talking about the proverbial place of complacency, lack, and failure. And a place where you are surrounded with people that's not good for you. Some of you gave your life to Jesus recently, but you're still hanging around the same people that you're not supposed to hang around with. You're still doing some of the old things that you're not supposed to do. Allow God to lead you out of where you're supposed to go. Stop fighting Him. Say, Jesus, here I am, lead me. Where should I go? And here's what I'm telling you. Never, ever go back to where He led you out of. Amen? Never, ever. I may go and visit where I used to come from. I know Pastor Dylan, every now and then you go and visit Fraserburg. He visits Fraserburg, amen? Yeah, there's a purpose for it. But God had to call him out. Because the vision that God placed in his heart was too big for. Are you hearing me? God called some of you out of certain places because what He has placed in you is too big for the place you are in. This is not just geographical, but also with the people that's surrounding you at the moment. There are people that God calls you to disciple and bring up to your level, and they will receive from you. Do what God mandates you to do. But know when you are in a place where people is robbing you of the vision, the plan, and the purpose, and the destiny that God has placed in your life. Lift your hands to the Lord this morning. Father, we thank you so much for your precious word. We thank you, Lord, that you are calling us out of a place of distress, out of a place of lack, out of a place of complacency, out of a place of failure. You are opening up our eyes. You have opened up our eyes to see the vision that you have given us. For those that are in this place, Lord, the vision that you've given them years ago, may you restore that vision, that plan, that purpose that you have given them in the name of Jesus. May they begin to see the place where you have called them unto. And Lord, I thank you that you anoint each and every person with your precious anointing to fulfill the assignment that you have placed upon their life. You have called your people for greatness. You have placed great destiny on the inside of them. And Lord, I declare and speak over their lives today that they will never, ever, ever go back to that town in the name of Jesus.